only see one marriage. Oh, no, I see you, Greg, and then I see your shadow figure. Well, very good. I guess we're ready to get going. Debbie, welcome everyone to our special finance committee meeting. Sorry we couldn't have it last week, but I think that we hopefully will be able to do a review of the five-year capital plan. And I know that there's been some questions. I myself might just my editor. Oh, but before we get, let's get into the call the order, Debbie, please.
Sure. Grindel?
Here.
Sinek?
Here.
Vavirka?
Here.
And in going back, I can see that this capital improvement plan started, or the legislation was back from 2007, and we started with the year 2008. And I can remember the early years, and Mayor, I know you go way back in before that. A lot of times we would just say, I know in the first 5-6 years I had, John would tell us, the money's there, we got the purchase, and we just had blind faith or trust in whether it be him or Michael Zuber or that. We had blind faith in our money people that they knew what they were doing, but we didn't have any plans such as we have here now. And I think it's been perfected. I know it's been perfected with Maggie and Vern adding the purchase orders, the outstanding purchase orders that are out there. We have a better idea, because in the old days too, we'd say, we'd ask John, where's the money coming from? He goes, I got a few old POs that I'm gonna get the money from. So we had blind faith in there. So I think as a council person, this is about, and it continues, it's not perfect, but it continues to get better all the time, give you an idea where the money's coming from and how much money we have. And again, it's a plan. It's not, it can easily be changed. And Mayor, I know you say a lot of times opportunities come up at a moment's notice or things happen that you have to have the flexibility. So it kind of gives us a game plan going into, but we've always with the idea that things can change from month to month or even week to week as far as what this plan has. But I think Vern, probably the best in reviewing it, and I guess I like the editorial, the comments that you've made, the verbiage that you use at the end of page one, at the bottom of page one, where you have, you discuss the open POs and then the column years and that. And again, just saying that what you have those last three that you've added now, I think, so I made the last couple of versions, if you want to explain that.
Yeah, thank you, Vice Mayor. Well, and we appreciate your comments about the plan evolving for the better over time. And I completely concur with that. And kudos to Maggie for, prior to me getting here that year, she was kind of by herself with some interim finance directors, and she added that open POs column. I think that the advancements that we've made since then is getting that bottom line total on page one down to a more realistic level for all the years listed. I think that's a significant improvement, because then it makes the document much more realistic. And even though I've expressed not concern, just an observation that those numbers might be a little bit on the high side, I'm okay with the plan as it is, because this just assumes that we're going to appropriate future dollars that would come in, and we do have cash on hand that can be used. So the amounts that I had suggested in that mid-teens, these numbers range from throw out 2025, but the first 4 years it's between 16.5 and call it 18 million. So we're a little bit over that, but we do have cash on hand which can be applied to that. And I like what's been said by Maggie and others, that this is just a plan, it's a guideline, it's a framework for going forward. Look, we sent a version out in late December, and that was the final plan. And then by January 8th, we had amended it slightly, and the version you should have in front of you should be dated January 30th. So I say that these plans are figuratively done in pencil, because circumstances are constantly changing. We live in a dynamic world, and we have to have flexibility in this, and don't see this as a rigid, unmovable document. That, no, this is a very flexible, fluid document and it'll adapt and change as circumstances change going forward. But it sends a message to the community like, hey, here's what we, your elected community leaders, intend to do with tax dollars as far as investing it in capital and infrastructure over the next 5 years. And one, I think they should appreciate that and will appreciate it. And two, appreciate that it's in a very structured, well-thought-out format. And to enhance it a little bit further, Vice Mayor, you did mention we added that verbiage on the bottom of page one. And I heard a sermon one time, and the pastor said that people would use the dog, John Madden, when he was a color commentator on NFL football. But he said if you listen to him, he explained NFL football in a way that didn't talk down to people who really knew football, but he explained it also at the same time at a level that people who knew nothing about football could also understand what he was talking about, interpreting plays that he was seeing. And that's what we're trying to do here, is just always assume that the public, the media, whoever it is, are not finance experts, and that if anything we can do to enhance the understanding of this document, the better it is. So we added that verbiage on the bottom of page one, and I'm sure as the next 3 years of my term here unfolds, we'll make additional enhancements to this document to make it even better. So thank you for getting it to this point. I don't know if the intent is to go into specifics on this or just to talk at a high level, but I'm here to help facilitate whatever way this discussion goes.
Well, we can try to go page by page, because some of these, there aren't any, I don't think, any problems with understanding or that. Just to give a fact, there's four pieces of legislation tonight that come out of the five-year plan. There's the vehicle for the building department. There's the ambulance for the fire department. There's the police cars. And then I believe there's the that vehicle or the mower for the rec department. Now, again, you pointed out at the bottom of page one, at the verbiage you have there, that any project over 15,000 will be legislated. So council still has the final say of any item over 15,000. So if there's something on here and the mayor, you let the department head describe what we're purchasing, what the need was. If we're not satisfied with that, we have the final say in that. But we'll get an explanation, like with the fire department, for example. I'm sure Chief Regal mentioned in his notes that there we'll save 3% by purchasing before April 1st. So there's a reason why we're pushing it a little bit ahead of schedule. I know Dale mentioned that he had some questions regarding that rec department purchase, and he talked to Tom Walchanow. So Tom had a great description and explained to Dale, kind of gave him a little level of comfort of what the need was and everything else. So this is still a guy, but still, council still has the right and should demand the right to get an explanation from the administration or from the department of what the purchase is for and why the timing is different, everything else. And usually, like I say, this is a flexible document that we have to keep our eye on. That, the mayor could come 3 weeks from now and say, hey, I got this proposal has come, this opportunity, and we need to change some of the things on the five-year plan to make it happen. And that, I'm sure that's what we need, to have the flexibility to do that. We're not married to this, but we need to be able to move the scorecard. And again, I think Vern, one thing was pointed out is this version that you have, this dated January 30th, is that on the website for the residents to see? They have the most recent version of this?
Debbie, when I emailed it to mayor and council, did I copy you? Did that get onto the web?
I did not put it on the website.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's another, we'll have to, probably, again, as finding a better coordination to get so that the residents are seeing the same thing that we're looking at in our records here too.
I apologize for not following up on that, but I will say this, that the version that is out there publicly, if you add up the total capital and infrastructure and real estate for the next 5 years, this totals over $75 million. And the difference between the version online and this version is it's a matter of a couple thousand dollars that Dave Snyderberg added a couple thousand to the chiller project here at City Hall, so it's not materially different.
I see.
I think you, go ahead.
And I think, Vern, you said we moved $450,000 allocations for that Pleasant Valley Bridge, too, now that that we're not going to have to come up with the money, but it's going to be paid by the county?
Correct. So that actually just fell off and won't be needed. And kudos to Don for following up with the powers to be at the higher levels, because we thought we had to pay 100% of the non-roadway part of those projects, and then it turns out that we didn't, so that we were able to, you could say, save $200,000 by not having to allocate that $50,000 for the next couple of years, and probably reallocate to that to some other uses.
Very good. Well, let's just move on. We can go from if council wants to, do you want to go from page to page, just if you have any questions or that, or how do you want to approach it, Ken?
I'd like to make some higher level comments before we delve into the detail.
Sure.
Thing. So, Debbie, am I able to share my screen? I have the first page summary up, and I just want to put it up so we can see it. And I can.
Sure. Let me just let you share.
Commentary.
There you go.
Okay, so we're looking at the top page summary of the five-year capital improvement plan. And so, you know, people keep referring to this as a plan. I'm 34 years into the CPA business. I have read a lot of financial reports over my lifetime. I've seen good ones and I've seen bad ones, and this is not a good one. Here's why. So we have this open POs column with $15,493,000 in it. We have 2021 with $16 million in it. The most natural reading of this report is that the city intends to spend about $32 million in the next 12 months for permanent improvements. Mind you, the history over the last 5 years, we've averaged spending about $12 million a year. So we have so-called plan that calls for $32 million of spending when we know on average we spend about $12 million a year. So to me, to call this a plan is disingenuous to plans. No one can read this document and have a clear understanding as to how much is the city going to spend for permanent improvements in year 2021 and what projects are we going to spend that money on. This is a catalog. This is not a plan. It's a list of potential things we could spend money on. It is not readable and interpretable as an action plan. This is what we're going to do in the next 12 months. And that's quite distressing. We spent a lot of time, effort, energy to build this, and it's necessary, but we have to take it to the next step as a council and critically evaluate this list of things we could do and sort it out into the things that we intend to do or will do or can't do in the next 12 months. And, you know, $32 million of spending is not where we're going to be. So this is not a realistic plan. It's just a shopping list.
Vice Mayor?
Yes, Vern, now I can see everybody's face. I guess it's kind of hard. I mean, because I've worked with something like this. I think we've had this for a number of years. We've never had the open POs before, so we've never had that column up until this year. So that really
It was on last year's.
Well, Maggie just put on the last couple of years, but I know that basically we just had the 5 years, and are we going to spend every single dollar that's on there? No, but we have it on there, the flexibility that we have a placeholder. At least we are able to, it's far greater than what we had before. Mayor, maybe I don't know if you want to add your thoughts on this.
Yeah, this is the most accurate presentation proposal I've seen in 30 years of public service. Just that it's doesn't, it's not appropriate. I disagree. I think, can it be refined? Yeah, and I think that was the opening comment, that this, you know, this is the first year, or really first year, that the finance director had a chance to really refine this, and all of council had a chance to weigh into this point. And I'm comfortable going forward. Is it, and you look at it, if we're not going to have flexibility in something, it's not like a private sector accounting where I'm very familiar, and it's a whole different way I do business when I put my public hat on the private hat. So other than negotiating and trying to come up with the best deal for the city. So to suggest anything other than this is a good blueprint, I just disagree. I think that we've got a framework. It's the most accurate framework we've had in a decade. And so I don't know what else you want to do.
We could do better. I think I heard somebody say that once before. We could do better. What we need is a plan for the administration to say, this is how much we intend to spend in 2021 for capital improvements. And this is what we intend to spend it on. Let's have a serious discussion about those list of projects and that total dollar amount. We can't even begin to have that discussion right now, what we're going to do in the next 12 months, because it's not laid out in a way that anyone could say, these are the specific road projects we're going to spend X dollars on between now and December 31st, 2021. These are the capital equipment purchases we're going to spend on. You just never get there. It's a shopping list. Frankly, if I were the mayor, I'd want it this way too, because then I'm free to, you know, kind of pick and choose as the year goes along. But in a checks and balances world of public service, you know, council should be kind of a check and balance to the administration, to ask the administration, what are you going to do in the coming year? How much is it going to cost? And that leads to a discussion of prioritizing, of, you know, council gets a chance to weigh in, the community gets to weigh in. Right now, we just have a shopping list. It's very nebulous and amorphous. And we can do better. We should do better.
Well, we're doing better. We did better than when I first got back here. And quite frankly, you've got a number of department heads that stay very focused on their responsibilities throughout the year. And you'll see, as tonight's legislation indicates, as was indicated by the vice mayor, look at, this is how the process works. We present and we plan. And when we get to the spot of being able to finance and have our finances in order, we ask council to approve. If council isn't familiar with or doesn't like the direction we're going, they have a vote. But we present what we believe in legislative form that obviously it's very accurate. You must approve anything over $15,000. And so tonight's a good example. We have several pieces on the agenda where you will have the right and the authority to either vote it up or vote it down. If you vote it up, then the department heads will follow that lead and they will make sure that we get the best value for our investment. If you vote it down, then we'll go back to the drawing board and we'll try to recalibrate and figure out the next strategy that we have to come forward with. You have to have a lot of flexibility in this.
Kathleen, you have a question.
Yeah, well, I just want to make a comment. I think, you know, our action plan is that these are what we're proposing as possible projects. I don't believe that this gives an open check to the administrative side of our government, because we know that these things still go through our committees. You see how we're introducing our legislation tonight. My name is on three major purchases because it's committees that I'm part of. So we have a chance, first of all, there to speak up, and especially now, more recently, since so many of the council are coming to all the committee or many of the committee meetings, I think we have that. And then when we come to a vote like we are tonight on these, that's our second chance to say yay or nay. And we know that fluidity, I think, is what gives us our strength, not our weakness, because having that degree of fluidity allows us to respond as the needs arise. What we think maybe now, as we're sitting here in February of 2021, may not be what we are going to do come July, because something of more importance may come to the front, and I'd rather us be able to meet the needs. And as far as the open POs, we didn't have that before, but that was put on, thankfully, at our request. We said, you know, we'd like a better idea of what's out there. So I applaud that. I don't think that that's a negative. And the same thing with, I look at the three pieces of legislation that I referenced earlier, and all three of those came through the five-year forecast. And this is the department heads judiciously planning and putting money aside so that we don't get, those three are almost a half million dollars, okay? So we don't get that all at one time as a hit without any planning. No, they've been planning each year to have those funds. So I think that's a very good process and very positive way to do it.
Thank you, Kathleen. And just to give you an example, we've been blessed with Chief Nelson before, now Chief Regan. They were in the forefront of the planning stages here, especially they have the big ticket items that we have to plan and save money to people. So I appreciate that. When we first started this, I think it was the police and the fire department that started. Then we went with service too. It's worlds ahead of how it was 15 years ago or 40 years. Jim Crooks really brought us into the 21st century when he brought this discipline for planning and everything, and I applaud him for that. Dale, you have a comment or a question?
Well, a couple of comments. First of all, I'm very pleased that the purchase orders, the outstanding purchase orders, are now listed so that when Don or any of the other department heads are looking at a project and we're dollars short, when we've got the money there, it's pretty easy to see that it's money from a past PO that can be used. That's a really great thing. And I really appreciate the fact that our department heads, Chief Regan in particular, but other department heads, Tom Walchanowicz, other department heads have a very sharp pencil as they go through and they plan certain sections, certain portions of the five-year plan. That the place that I get kind of dismayed and concerned is when I'm looking at certain sections of the document and I see miscellaneous improvements and big chunks of money that just say miscellaneous improvements. There's places in the document to at least give some idea of what those miscellaneous improvements are. If indeed we as a council and as a finance committee have the ability to be involved with those projects, those improvements, whatever they are, it doesn't seem to me to make sense to say miscellaneous improvements and large amounts of money and then include that in this document. To me, we're targeting those purchases that we need to have, the required ones, and some of these other numbers that have been, I don't want to describe it as being slid in, but are there. And with very little explanation other than miscellaneous improvements. And if you go through the document carefully, you'll find there's lots of these. And seriously, to me, I'm not quite sure I believe that those have a place in a document that's supposed to give us a target. In other words, it's more like a place to put money and have it sit out there, and the possibility then later is to say, well, it was in the five-year plan and use that as a justification, where, you know, basically it's important to have specific targets. So my biggest objection, especially related to these random sections with big money amounts. I mean, we're not talking $10,000, we're talking large amounts.
Yes. For Councilman Sinek, I understand, but the rest of you, you've voted on these things every year in the past, so I'm not sure why all of a sudden there's shock treatment.
No, I agree with that. I mean, this is the best, because I could go back to somewhere we had things that we didn't even discuss, some projects like on the freeway, monuments and stuff like that, that we said, you know, they were placeholders. But I mean, they were no closer to being passed by council than something really outrageous. So this really has narrowed it down. I think I get back to the thing that nothing gets done unless it's approved by council if it's over 15,000. And but I look at here. This has been a guide. We've moved that road, the road projects, around so many times in the past because of opportunity and of things that come up that we didn't even think about, like the year before, 2 years before. So it's constantly moving. And we didn't know where the money was coming from. And John would just tell us, oh, don't worry. We felt that John had a private stash there in the back of the city hall that he could all of a sudden bring a PO up the light to pay for it. Kathleen.
Yeah, Dave, I totally agree with you. The road projects is a perfect example. We invested a lot of time, effort, and money in the Manikin-Smith study. We use that as our overarching guide for how we should manage our cities and the infrastructure, or our streets rather than the infrastructure. But the reality is, as you say, other opportunities come up. We're doing something nearby. It behooves us to use the resources and to maybe minimize the cost on some of them by switching those around. So that's why I referenced earlier the need for the fluidity. You know, you have a structure, you have a plan, but there's going to be variations to that, appropriately so, but they're not just in the wind. I mean, they're well vetted by council. They're presented to us. If we don't get our questions answered by the department directors, then shame on us, because they're always available to us. I've never had one in the years I've served on council not be there immediately to respond and to add more information. And we'll take a second meeting on it. There's many things that we don't put through on the first vote or the first time that it's brought to council. And so I would say that we have more than an ample opportunity to weigh in.
And Mayor, I can remember back on your last stint, you wanted to, I think, just repave Lafayette in that area because it was in deplorable condition. And council said no to you because we said we're going to be totally rebuilding that. We don't want to waste money and then have a rebuild in a few years. And it took a lot more than a few years, as you can see, to get it done. But, you know, there are times when you approach us, or maybe Don might approach us with wanting to spend the money, and council has said no, it doesn't seem to be in the city's best interest. And again, you go back to the drawing board and come up with another proposal that makes sense, so it's total flexibility. But at least now we have a far greater idea on the money aspect of it. And are we going to spend that amount of money that Ken mentioned? That I would bet you any money that we're not going to spend $32 million
Absolutely, Vice Mayor. Everyone's entitled to their opinion relative to this document.
Oh, sure.
Hard to put it together. You can vote up and down, but for those of you that have been part of the system, except for Councilman Blanchett and Cynic, I suggest you look back at your history of voting, and then if you really want to object, then I want to talk to you face-to-face, because there's something more personal here, and it's disappointing.
Yeah, and Ken, like I say, I can understand your, you know, for your background and everything, but this people have been on council for a number of years. Jim, I don't know, you were back in the 90s and everything. You know, we didn't have this kind of preciseness or this kind of planning tool back up to 2007, 2008.
Well, we didn't, and it depends on revenues and what you're bringing in and you know how that works. And obviously at one time we used to dedicate the death tax to capital improvements. Well, there isn't one, right? So, you know, it's a good thing we don't have that. And, you know, this has to be inherently flexible because you don't know what your priorities are going to be. And sometimes, as we've discussed towards the end of last year, priorities shift based on natural disasters and naturally occurring elements. So, you know, open POs don't mean that you're going to spend the money all in one year. It means they're open POs and that they're available and you've got money allocated. That would be my take on it.
Exactly right. Ken?
Well, you know, my hope, you know, it is a broad objective of this whole process is to develop a budget for capital improvements, capital expenditures. How much are we going to spend? What are we going to spend it on? And in that process, you set priorities, you look at the big picture, and, you know, this document is absolutely necessary to being able to identify possibilities and then narrow them down into most important to not so important, you know, things we must get done in the next 12 months. That sort of vetting process hasn't happened. And I get council gets the opportunity to vote up or down on each one of these things as they come forward, but that's not a best practice. Best practice is for council to establish a budget and kind of give direction to the administration of what the hopes and expectations are in a big picture way for the whole year. Addressing these things one at a time as they come up, that's not a best practice, first of all. And second of all, you know, I hear lots of people patting themselves on the back about this document. As I said, I've read a lot of financial reports in my 34-year career as a CPA. This is not a good one. It does not convey the information you wanted to tell, which is to say, how much are we going to spend next year on capital improvements? You cannot tell that from this 33-page report. Again, a lot of work and effort. I compliment everybody went into it. It was a lot of time, effort, but activity and accomplishment are two different things. This doesn't lay out a budget and what we're going to spend money on in fiscal year 2021. Again, if I were the mayor of the administration, I'd want it this way because it gives me complete flexibility to do what I want when I want. But council, as a separate body, you know, with its own defined role and purpose in government, this is one of those times where council has to defend its territory and demand of the administration, give a plan. Tell us how much you're going to spend next year and what you're going to spend it on. And then let's have a discussion about priorities. This handling one at a time, that's not a best practice. It's just not the best way.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but it's a different world. I mean, who would have projected that Patriots Way were going to have that culvert collapse last year? You had to have the flexibility to say, hey, we got to get it fixed. Yeah. And, hey, where's the money coming from? And we had the flexibility to get some funding from the Northeast Ohio Sewer District. You have to be nimble, and who knows, a road could collapse. Anything could happen where all of a sudden our priorities shift from what we had planned to something that all of a sudden it's an emergency. You need to have that monetary flexibility to be able to shift funds to where it's most needed and most done. I think, Mayor, like you said, that the tools that we have now, to me, at least as a councilman, I feel more prepared now than I ever had as far as making decisions, as opposed to when I got on, when I was in Ken or Chris's shoes in the year 2000, and you know, when they started bringing up the Rockside Road project, we had no 5-year plan or anything. We were told by the county, you either use this money set aside or you're going to lose it. So next thing you know, that caused the council to, you know, to get in gear and start our planning. But it was far different than now. So we've made progress. Is it perfect, Ken? No, it's definitely not perfect. Nothing. We're trying to approach improvement, and that's the main thing we can do. But there's so many. I mean, if somebody would have told us 2-3 years ago we'd be in a pandemic and all these, we'd be all wearing masks in public and all that, would have been laughing stuff. But you have to be nimble and flexible and be able to accept whatever comes down the pike, whether it be financially for the city. And again, Vern's been warning us, the mayor's been warning us, who knows what these lawsuits are going to be, but we have to be ready to move in different fronts. And this is a plan, but the plan is only as good as today. Tomorrow we might have a different plan based on what could have happened. So, but I know, like what Dale says, some of the miscellaneous, but again, it comes down to, we still, if anything comes out of that miscellaneous money, the council has to approve it, and it has to be something that is, you know, for the betterment of the city or capital things that we have and everything. So I don't know. Again, this, to me, this is, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm patting the people in the finance department that has really come forward. I think council has done more work on the 5-year plan this year than it has in a number of years. I was really pleased because maybe of the fact that we were able to have these type of meetings, that we are more available. We've been attending more. There's been more committee meetings, more planning in the committee meetings. So I think that we're doing much better than we have in the past. And is it perfect? But I think no. But I think it's moving in that direction. I don't know if anybody else has comments regarding.
Hey,
Jim.
I got
just one other thing. Go ahead, Tommy. I'm sorry.
I don't. I'm kind of dumbfounded by all these accusations. I don't even know where to start, so I'm going to try to be calm. First of all, three, four years ago, we had 2-3 meetings for finance committee. John Varis and who was the chairman of finance back then, they put the whole thing together and presented it to us. Council had no say whatsoever in it. So, to me, that's strides right there. Second of all, the mayor cannot do anything, sorry, mayor, without the 7 of us, the majority of the 7 of us. So he can ask for the moon, and you know, and he should. That's his job, to make this city better. So he should ask for whatever he thinks is going to help this city out. But it's the 7 of us who say, okay, mayor, we agree with you. And third, Mr. Cynic, when have you not had the chance to weigh in? You give these crazy statements, but you've got every right to weigh in and say what you think when it comes to legislation. So that right there is why you're a councilman and why you're elected. Save that for then. But the planning situation, it's like you're slapping Vern in the back and you're slapping the mayor in the back by saying what you're saying. My God, we spent a lot of time creating these documents. And if you don't think they're up to your standards, so be it. But, you know, maybe you should keep those comments to yourself and just and vote the way you want to vote. But, my God, you think we're here to rubber stamp whatever the mayor wants? Think again. That's not how it works. And, you know, it's like an insult to me that you say these things to say, you know, we don't have a plan. Man, I've been doing this for 12 years already. This is the best plan we've ever had the last couple of years. So I really take offense to that, and I'm sorry if I hurt somebody's feelings, but my God, you're slapping all of us in the face. For what reason? Vote for legislation or don't vote for it, but why do you have to slap us around like that? It's crazy.
May I run?
Yes, Ken, go ahead.
Councilman Narduzzi, respectfully, so we have a committee structure, right? And so I raised all of these issues that I'm speaking about today in an email to the mayor, the finance director, and my fellow members of the finance committee on December 16th. It took the vice mayor more than a month to even acknowledge that I sent the email, and this is the first finance committee meeting we have had since December. So these issues have been raised in the proper channel, but for whatever reason, you know, they didn't get worked through the finance committee. Schedules didn't necessarily line up well, whatever the reason.
You're on the finance committee. Take that happen now.
Yes, excuse me, speaking. I raised all of these with the mayor, with the finance director, with my fellow finance committee members on December 16th. And no action has happened. No response has been received to my concerns. So now I'm bringing it up again here in public. So that's the way it works. I try to work through the system. December 16th, I will forward the email to Debbie Beal so it can be included in the record of this meeting. But, you know, the very concerns I'm raising now are the same things I raised December 16th.
And like I say, Ken, I appreciate your change. I come from a different perspective. I think Kathleen knew, to anybody who's been on council for a number of years, we're making a great deal of progress because not that we abdicated our rights before, but we had a lot of faith in our finance director, and because the years of history, again, our years of being on finance, so we didn't have the background information that we do have now as much. We trusted that, not that he did tell us where the PO came from and what area and that, but we always looked at him. Whenever a project came, we'd look at John and say, John, is the funding there? Don't worry about it. You know, or if it came to borrowing or that, we trusted. And I have that same kind of faith. I know Vern's working hard. He might not have the years of background that John had, but he's done his best in providing us with all the information that we need. So I feel comfortable in the decisions we make. I feel that we get the background information from the department heads and from the administration. Is it perfect? But, you know, we're not supposed to be micromanagers. We're not in there on a daily basis looking over the shoulder of these department. These people have been with us for a number of years. I trust their knowledge and the way they share that with us. And I have I feel better now with the decisions I make than I ever had in 19 or 18 years on council. Is it perfect? No, but I'm not sitting at City Hall for 10 hours a day. This is just a supervisory type of position. So, again, is that, Kathleen, you can give your...
I didn't want to interrupt you, Dave, but I would just reiterate what I said. We have access to the people who are requesting these money. We have access to the department directors. Never have I been told that I have to get my approval through the mayor to talk to these people. So I have, and they know, I contact them frequently before our meetings or come prepared with questions during our meetings before I'm just gonna, I don't blanketly just approve the monies, but I think we have to have that flexibility. I said that earlier too. Because one of the reasons why I think we are the amazing city that we are and can offer so much is because we have the mobility to respond as the needs arise. We don't have to say when a street is in horrible disrepair, well, we got to wait 4 years now because it wasn't planned this year. We can respond, and I respect that, and I'm glad that we have that.
Jim.
Yeah, so just one other thing, just to kind of reiterate what I said a little bit, and just as a kind of a frame of reference. So, you know, I think... Some might, maybe 20 years ago or so, there were wish lists that were kind of created, and various departments would come to the various committees and say, well, we want this, and we want this, and we want, and it really wasn't a vetted list, and it was just everything that everybody thought about. So I think this is really an estimating process and a costing process in a sense. Each department is said, look, come up with realistic priorities. If you can't afford those priorities in the year that you need them, you know, we have to pay them out over 3, 4, 5 years. And so I think what you're seeing is that each department's doing a particularly great job of costing these things out and saying, we do need this long-term capital improvement, and then there's short-term capital improvements, and we're getting both of those types of things. So I think this is actually a pretty healthy process administratively, and council's seeing the end result of that, but we don't see the beginning, which I think is good, because you know, now it is really truly a prioritization of each one of these. And you know, I just referred to what Dave talked about with the Patriots Way. You know, I would have never wanted to fund that last year, but it broke, you know, and so it was something that really had to be done, and had to be done quickly, and we were able to leverage county money for it. We had a utilities meeting, we put that together in 30 days, that thing was fixed, or less than 30 days, it was fixed. And so I think that committee process really helps us to come through with these types of things. This is not a spending document, but it is a tool in a sense. The spending document comes when it's ready, and the administration comes forward and says, we're ready to do this project, and then you've got a couple months to determine whether or not it's a priority or not. But I think these are really healthy because they winnow out things that have no ability to be done, and it sets the priority for the administration to say, what kind of a long-term capital plan are we going to put together for our organization, for each department, and then for the entire city. So I think it's been a pretty healthy process. Clearly, nothing's perfect, but it's not a capital improvements budget where you say, we're going to put all these things in and there's a set number, and this is only the only thing we're going to do. Sometimes organizations do that. I'm part of a church parish council that does that type of thing, but this is a little bit different type of situation. A lot of it's dependent on circumstances beyond the control of what happens in February, and in December it might be a different situation. So I just think we have got a pretty good process. It's put together, I thought, particularly well. There's things I don't like, but you know, that's at the right time I'll bring those up.
Vice Mayor.
Yes, Mayor.
And, yeah, and, you know what, it was Councilwoman Capusta said it clearly, more clearly recently, when she said, in the spirit of cooperation, you have access to the department heads so that they can explain to you, have you better understand their position when it comes to a purchase of a piece of equipment, or an explanation as to why we have to go this route or do this road project or make this repair. So, you know, I do that because I want you to be comfortable when you vote on something. That's another leg on the stool of how through cooperation, we're able to be more effective and nimble. Again, this document, nothing's perfect in this public sector business, because you need to be nimble and fluid, because I can tell you on any given day, I may be back coming to you with some harsh realities, both positive or negative. So if you want to take away flexibility, it's your prerogative, but you have all the flexibility because it's your decision ultimately to give us the ability, give the department heads the ability to do their jobs through your approval of the appropriation and these capital items. So as much as I appreciate the comments and look, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And at the end of the day, at some point, we just got to sum it all up and move forward. But I'll stand by the finance department and the effort they've gone through this past year, and the document you have in front of, the information you have in front of you should be plenty. If not, you ask questions and we keep moving forward, because you can't sit still, I can tell you. So we can't sit still is all I want to say.
Chris, I think you had a comment too.
Yeah, I think the mayor hit the nail on the head when he said information. I mean, I've been a councilman for, what, 14 months. I have zero financial background, running a business and trying to be successful. I've heard from 5 out of the 7 council members that the last 14 months have been more informational, and we get more documents and more updates and more everything out of the finance office than you ever have. So yeah, I've never worked with John. I don't know how his past was, but I think for the amount of hours that Maggie puts in and Vern puts in as a part-time job, I think they are very informational, and everything is right there in front of us. Ken, I can't judge because I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know what kind of example, you know, you've seen. This is all I've seen. And for me, it tells me everything that I need.
Okay, thank you, Chris. And I don't know if anybody else has any more comments or that. We'll vote on it this evening. Again, it's we can argue about if this is the most perfect document or not, but I think from a planning standpoint, from the standpoint that I have from years of experience, I think that council persons are in a better chance to be more educated regarding this than we've ever been before. And again, it's no slight. Matter of fact, I just take it that I had a lot of faith in John and what he told us. If he told us that the money was there, I believed him, I think. But now I have a greater understanding of the purchase orders, what's outstanding, what we need to do. So is it perfect? No, but we're learning all the time. I think Vern's teaching us all the time, sharing information with us. The mayor's coming up with proposals that again, it is all up to our individual decisions, whether we say yes or no, or we want more information. But I think that the bottom line is that in the short amount of time, because we all have other jobs, or at least good many of us do, so we need to have information given to us so we can make an important decision. I think, again, that has been accomplished, not perfectly, because we still can always improve. And that, Ken, with you being the CPA, down the road, if you have more years of experience, again, you could add to the process. But, right now I'm satisfied with what we have compared to previous years. I'm ready to vote on it this evening. Go ahead, Ken.
So, two things. First of all, a wise man once told me the one who agrees might be the only one who's right. So, with that inspiration, I'm going to continue to speak on this because it is an area of expertise for me. Again, 34 years as a CPA. This report does not provide the information council needs to make a reasonable, appropriate action to vote on. We ought to be demanding of the administration, tell us how much you're going to spend for capital improvements for calendar year 2021, and what projects are you going to spend that on. We don't have that information right now. And I'm not going to use time as an excuse or, you know, this is maybe it's better than it was last year, but it's still not good enough. And we as a council need to hold the administration to account to do better. That's why we have a council separate from a mayor, separate from a finance director. This is council's responsibility to make the administration bring us a plan. This is not a plan. This is a shopping list or a catalog. It's not a plan. And that's disappointing. But even over and above that, that's what we need from the administration to do this right. If you want to do it fast and the way you've always done it, well, you can do that, but it's not good and it's not right.
So I don't believe we've done it fast. As a matter of fact, we've had more committee meetings in the last year or two. I can remember some years we had, if we had five or six committee meetings, I was shocked. I think we really, we've done as much investigation as we can within the time restraints. I mean, we still have other jobs to do. I still have clients to take care of and family to take care of. I mean, you can be demanding all you want, but I think that the information we have, I feel comfortable making the decisions that I have to make, and I'm not going to demand that. You can't tell the mayor what I want, because the mayor might all of a sudden come up with an opportunity, and we've got the engineering that we might shift gears and push something ahead that was third, maybe year three on the capital plan. We're pushing to the year one because of opportunities, economic or whatever, that so we have to have the flexibility. You can't have a precise document like you would with balance sheets or things that payroll and stuff like that. So
there's estimates and precision, but this is what's laid on this piece of paper is more than double what we can afford to spend. I mean, it's not even.
And we've never spent it. I mean, as I say, it's just like a map that gives us an idea what we can spend, where what money we have available, and then we prioritize from that list. So I don't know if anybody else has anything to add at this point, Mayor, because I know we're getting near the 5:30.
Yep.
time. We had a great meeting. This was good. You know what? And I, again, I appreciate everyone's entitled to their opinion. And I appreciate it. And I try to digest everything. But if this is not the right business to be in, if you think we can put everything right in a tight box and compartmentalize everything, it just doesn't work that way. Because
this is Debbie.
If you don't have
to get closer than double what you're going to
say. Let me finish, please. Let me finish.
Yeah, I will send it to you right now.
If you don't have some flexibility and some fluidity, in this process, trust me, I've been doing this a long time. And if you lose that flexibility, you have to have integrity in the system, too. And by the way, I've never been part of an administration where we had any findings for recovery. So there's the double check and balance that an accountant should understand and fully be able to comprehend. So as long as our record's clean and we're still one of the envies of the county, I'm going to keep working hard the way I'm working. So if there's a better system out there that works, please let me know. Until then, you've got all the data. We've had plenty of meetings and council. Really, this is right the appropriate time for you to make decisions. The administration's worked hard to give you documents and information and answer as many questions as we can. So now, you make some decisions.
Very good. Well, on that note, I think we're right there. Yes.
I'm sorry. I see my clock says 5:28. I don't want to drag this meeting out any further, but I think I've listened to your comments, your six colleagues' comments, mayor's comments, and I think it's appropriate for me to, you asked me for some initial comments up front. I've listened, and then I'd like to place some closing comments here, and just trying to jot some notes down of what I heard here the last 40 minutes or so. But council has I've heard it mentioned like two chances at everything, but really council has three cracks at the apple as this check and balance that we've talked about here this afternoon. One of the primary jobs of the legislative body is the annual budget, the annual appropriations ordinance. And I've tried to add the language in my recent communications with council to define these terms so that non-accountants and non-finance people can understand what we're talking about when we say appropriate and encumber and so forth. And it is one of council's most important functions each year is to appropriate funds. And it's been said in public policy scholars for decades that the budget is the most important document that a legislative body adopts each year because it outlines the priorities and the policies of that particular public sector organization. So at a high level, council appropriates via the annual appropriation ordinance. And I would say that that creates the overall framework of large dollar amounts, but not specifics. And Councilperson Sinek said that, you know, we're just voting without knowing specifics. Well, I take exception to that because whereas the annual appropriation ordinance does have a whole dollar amount for, let's say, capital and infrastructure, and for 2021, it's 16 point some million dollars. Well, the what it's going to be appropriated on is in this document right here, and that's your second crack at the apple. And for 2021, it lists over 30 pages what that 16 point some million is going to be potentially appropriated for. I too would love this to be a cash document. This is the one document that I put out to try to simplify municipal government finance for anybody that reads what I put out. I try to put it out on a cash basis because people could understand cash. Very, very few people could understand accrual, modified accrual. That's for the Ken Cynics of the world. That's not for the general public. That's not for the most of council. So I presented in a manner that people could understand, and that's cash. Now, unfortunately, this document is not a cash document, but it is the next best thing as far as a planning document because it was said that, well, we can't tell how much we're going to spend here in 2021. Well, that's why the language is added at the bottom here recently, so that the column under the open POs, somebody could read it and it says, okay, cash already encumbered, funds could be spent in any year going forward. So it doesn't take too much intelligence to say, okay, there's $15 million that the city has already set aside, and it could be spent in 2021 or any year going forward. That's pretty clear. Column years.
It puts in capital letters, it does not represent the actual cash that can be spent in those years. It represents the estimated amount that will be appropriated in those future years. And appropriate means allocate. And that's council's number one job, is to allocate funds, allocate resources. So I think this document does exactly what council's responsibility is. And I'll just say my last comment here. Councilperson Sidik, we're not going to get personal. I'm not here to go tit for tat and debate, but yeah, you did send an email on Wednesday, December 16th at 10:31 a.m. And I guess this is why people say document and get everything in writing, because you can't trust verbal. And I've heard repeatedly a couple times here since December 16th that, you know, you sent this email out and I never got a response, just dead silence. And this is the first meeting we're having since December. Well, I went through my work day that day, and while you made this comment that you never got a response, I went and checked my sent box here and typed in Sidik, and lo and behold, there's the email that you sent at 10:31 on December 16th, and there's the email after I went through the duties that I had to that day that I responded back to you, the Vice Mayor, Dale Waberka, and Mayor Kurtz at 6:17 p.m. I might have not provided you the answer you were looking for, but I did get back to you. So as councilperson Arduzzi said, you know, he takes offense to some of the things you're saying. I take offense because over these past 14 months now, I've noticed a propensity for things to be said that are not accurate. And so you're going to push back and stand for what you believe in, but I'm going to push back and stand for the facts as I have them here too. And I did get back to you. It might not be what you wanted to hear, but I've got six people that are probably going to vote in the affirmative for this document. You've heard many times, I like what the mayor said, like, look, this document has been approved tremendously. Not that it's the best document. I'm not sitting here patting myself on the back. It's a team effort. But this document is so much better than previous versions. And previous versions, A, never got so much discussion. B, never got so much input from the legislative body. And they were adopted like with no discussion. And here we've had more finance committee meetings probably in the 2020 than we've had in the last number of years combined. Ample opportunity for anybody in the legislative body to participate. Ample opportunity for the public to be fully informed. And it's resulted in this. So I'm sorry, it's not the document you're looking for. I did, when this position was open and I wasn't even thinking of running for it, I remarked to a CPA in town. I said, hey, you should run for finance director, or go contact the mayor, see if he'll appoint you. The CPA looked at me and says, Vern, I can't do that job. And I said, why not? You're a CPA. And this person said, look, CPA is predominantly private sector with private sector businesses. Governmental accounting is a whole different world. And I'm sorry if the world of appropriations and encumbrances and so forth, you understand it, but I think you're kind of skewing it to kind of serve whatever purpose you're trying to serve. And your world is your world, 34 years being a CPA, and I'm just telling you, the governmental accounting world is a different animal than the private sector world. Mayor Kurtz operates in both genres, and he could tell you it's a lot easier for him running his private sector business to say, yep, I'm going to spend X dollars exactly this year on X. We have these frameworks of the public sector rules and laws to prevent us from spending too much and give us these guidelines and framework. And that's why we have to go to the legislative body to get appropriations to allocate. And then we could encumber, and then we could order, and then we could pay for it. It's such a structured process. And you've got that third crack of the apple every time that legislation comes on the agenda. So council appropriates, council approves of the five-year capital plan, and then council approves every single piece of capital purchases or infrastructure projects over 15,000. So you have a third crack at the apple. I don't know how much more transparent and open we can be. Thank you.
No, thank you, Vernon. Dale, we have to wrap this up because we want to, I don't want to put the whammy on it, but I said earlier that we're going to be done pretty quick. And if we're at 9 o'clock at night.
Is he putting whammies on? We were scheduled last week for a two-hour meeting to go over this document, to double check, to take care of any of those areas that we felt needed some discussion. As we started the meeting, what I heard you say, Dave, is we're going to go through and take a look page by page very quickly. there were any questions or items that we had that were of concern. We've spent the last hour plus dealing with questions beyond this document. So in all reality, this finance committee meeting that Dave Ken and I, along with the finance director and the mayor, are involved in, we didn't really take a look at the five-year plan document and look at those particular pieces that we had questions for. So to me, it does not make sense at this particular point to push this document forward. It makes more sense to have that meeting that we were scheduled for, the two-hour meeting, to seriously look at the document to get the answers that we might need related to this document, so that we as a committee can put this document forward to the whole council. So I guess my motion would be that we table this and we have our finance meeting and we specifically address the five-year plan as stated on the agenda and review it and then be prepared to move it forward at that point. So that would be my motion.
Well, let me ask the other council members, are you comfortable with the five-year plan as because I've gone through this like think three or four times on my own and reviewed it. Yeah, there's some things that you like to move, but I think that it's given us enough to more than we've ever had before to approve it and move forward, because it's going to change. It might change. It's a constantly moving document. I'd like to have something approved, and then we'll work on what the future five-year plan will be. But Jim, would you want to vote on it this evening?
Well, I'd like everybody to be comfortable. I mean, I understand where Dale's coming from on that. So, I mean, I'm for the plan, and I would vote for it. But I would also, you know, I think there are some detail that certainly could flesh out, or maybe flesh out between from the committee process.
Because we can try.
I'm not sure you're going to get everybody comfortable, anyways, no matter how many meetings you have.
As I say, I mean, we can have, in years past, we've had many more meetings this year on this five-year plan than we've had ever in the past. John would slap us a five-year plan, and we'd look it over at one meeting, and we'd approve it at the next meeting. So I'm ready to vote on it this evening. Is it perfect? No, but it gives me a comfort level that I can make decisions intelligently enough for the rest of this year, and have the intelligence to know if something comes up, such as a road project that also needs to be full, I'll be glad to listen and see if it's necessary that we can move it up or that. But I think I have the information to vote on it this evening. Chris, how do you feel?
Well, before we get into that, can I bring as a point of order? As a point of order, I'd like to second Councilman Verka's motion in the Finance Committee to table this to another meeting of the Finance Committee. That's the motion that's on the floor, and I would like to second it.
My biggest concern is
that we thought it was a large council.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second.
You can make a motion to reconsider. You could do a motion to table. You could do a motion to...
Or take a vote. Or you can vote.
Is this... Yeah, well... Does this include that it'll stay in committee then? It will not, because it's on the agenda already.
You can add to on the agenda. This will not supersede the agenda.
It's already on the agenda. I think this motion has to be made more appropriately at the caucus.
Right.
If this ordinance had it made it out of committee and placed on first and second reading, then it would be still in committee. But it's technically out of committee and it's on the council floor. So I think it's council as a whole that has to vote on whether to leave it on for a vote this evening.
Well, that is premature. We should probably end the finance committee meeting. Then that's the first item that'll be on the on the caucus.
We have to,
because it's already on the agenda. It's not that we're it's been on the agenda for what, 3 months now?
Right.
So I think
Side provide a procedural point here.
Is Greg O'Brien here? I think
everybody's waiting to start the caucus. So he's
waiting. I would just say as a point of order, I think
the council of seven, and if it's on the agenda, then the committee meeting at this point is, you can vote on whatever you want, but it's on the agenda.
Was it referred to committee by council back in December?
No.
No.
then the motion would be to be at the main meeting.
Yeah.
Right.
So we'll then will you remove it at this point from this committee meeting and then make it at the start of the caucus. So,
I'd like to make a motion that the Finance Committee vote on approving the five-year capital improvement plan for further consideration by council.
Second.
Be also at the council meeting.
Call the roll there, Debbie.
Grindel?
Yes.
Favorka?
Yes.
Simic?
No.
Okay, I guess.
At least we got out of the Finance Committee.
So to move forward, let's end this meeting so we can start the caucus, and then we can have further discussion and a motion there on the floor of council during the caucus. So I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Hang on, let me call the question. Ken, please repeat your motion.
My motion was for the Finance Committee to vote to approve the five-year capital improvement plan for further consideration for the full council.
Okay, in that case, my vote would be no.
You'd have to do a motion to reconsider because you already voted.
Motion to reconsider.
Second.
I think only the member who voted in the negative will be able to do that, right?
Oh, okay.
Or in the prevailing, if a member who voted in the prevailing could make a motion to reconsider. Someone who's voted in the negative cannot make a motion to reconsider.
Motion to reconsider.
Second.
Grindel?
Yes.
Simic?
No.
Favorka?
No.
Okay, then you have just adjourn the meeting.
Okay, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. So let the lead this, I mean, and go okay. To the next, for the caucus.
All right.
See you in a little bit, everybody. So welcome, everyone. And I know I had said at the finance meeting, but I want to thank the